corporate candy floss news and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, Neemwell.com, because here, the expression is still free.
Beneath all the 2012 hype and behind all the cataclysmic end-of-the-world nonsense is a very real and very ancient Mayan culture with an astonishing knowledge of the universe. You're on the next level on BreakForNews.com.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
And you're very welcome. You are on the next level on BreakForNews.com. This is Fintan Dunn reporting. Thank you for joining us. Thanks also, as ever, to our sponsor, Neemwell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem, a herb which is undoubtedly the most potent in the world and yet the most safe due to almost 5,000 years of use in Indian culture. No wonder they call it the village pharmacy. And you can find out more about that at neemwell.com. That's NEEMWELL.com. Or email Kathy McMahon directly, KATHY, at neemwell.com. And from an ancient herb to an ancient culture. We're discussing tonight the subject of the Mayan calendar. And no, we are not talking about the exploitative rubbish about the end of the world, great cataclysms, mountains falling, seas rising. And we're not talking about the heavens opening and us all ascending into the sky. No, we're talking about the scientific understanding of one of the most intriguing and ancient cultures that has ever existed on the surface of this planet. A culture that seemed to have a knowledge that rivals our own. Modern scientific understanding tells us that the universe is 15, 16 billion years old. And astonishingly, it seems from analysis of their structures and calendar that the Mayan culture in ancient Central America knew about that 15 billion year time span and also was able to make predictions about the rate of progression of evolutionary change that's producing the speeded up world that you're living in right now. To discuss that with us, we have Swede Carl Johan Kallman, the author of two groundbreaking books on the Mayan calendar and Mayan culture. The Mayan calendar, solving the greatest mysteries of our time, and the Mayan calendar and the transformation of consciousness. Carl Kallman started out as a classic scientist. Indeed, he was studying the toxicology of cancer-causing substances. But he was in a battle with another purpose in life, a purpose which had gripped him ever since a 1979 trip to Central America. Eventually, luckily, the Mayans won out, and Carl Johan Kallman went on to become one of the world's leading experts on Mayan calendar and the Mayan culture. So put your feet up and settle back. And to make things easier, we have some graphics and illustrations. You can get to those by clicking on the photo that goes with this audio if you're on the homepage of breakfornews.com. That will take you to a post in the Break for News forum. And if you get that lined up now, it'll make it easier to follow this. And even as you're lining that up, I'm lining up a couple of tracks from Tupac, California Love, and Enigma's Metamorphosis on the line right now from Sweden. Carl, you're very welcome to the next level. Given your background in science, it struck me, I wonder if some of your former colleagues ever, when meeting you, look at you a bit askance and think, hey, these days, this guy's really out there.
Well, yes, I think that's accurate to say. However, I do maintain contact with some of my previous colleagues. Mm-hmm. And I think they respect me because of my earlier work, which I did within the mainstream academic framework. And but the way it works is that, you know, when I meet my old colleagues, we simply don't talk about what I'm doing now. And so because they wouldn't be able or interested in going into that. I don't know if they think they're funny. They just recognize, I think, the fact that I'm outside of the common fold, and that's the way things are.
Well, it was a fortunate change in your life and a fortunate development, especially as you were able to bring a scientific methodology and a scientific understanding to the issue. To see that it is a very sophisticated understanding, which the Maya had, is a very complex symbology, more sophisticated than Egyptian culture or Chinese culture. Definitely a very advanced understanding being displayed.
You know, most people today, they recognize, when it comes to Native American cultures, generally, they recognize the reverence that these cultures had for nature. But I don't think it's been sufficiently recognized, the scientific or analytical advancement of these cultures. And the symbols are analytical in another way, I think, than, for instance, Egyptian or other ancient cultures. They're working with sharp analytical tools in a way that we don't find in many other ancient cultures.
We see the stepped pyramidical structure in the pyramids of the Maya, and these levels in the pyramids, 9 levels, which correspond with our modern understanding of the age of the universe and various stages through which it's gone. When did you first encounter an understanding of those 9 levels, and what impact did it have on you as a scientist to realize what was going on here?
Well, I think that was at the time when I was actually shifting between careers in the years 1992-93. What happened was that I came across Linda Shealy's book Maya Cosmos, and where they present a drawing of the Dili number 10, I believe it is, in Koba, where this long count was placed just as one among many different kind of counts. And most people have completely ignored these, even though people are familiar with that there are longer time spans involved in the Mayan calendar system. So I started to think, well, if the long count has a beginning that seems meaningful, I started to ask the question, could there be some other meaningful beginning of another of these counts? And then the first one that I hit on was then the one that came to the Big Bang, or close to what is estimated as the age of the universe. And once I've had those two beginnings of underworlds nailed down, I could start to begin and disentangle a theory that included also the other longer counts, you might say.
Yes, it's a stunning concordance and correspondence between these monumental structures, ancient structures, and a modern scientific understanding of the time scale of evolutionary development, so that the bottom layer of the pyramid corresponds to the early stages from Big Bang on to the development of the mammalian system. And then as we move up the levels, we're looking at an accelerating evolutionary change represented by these levels in the pyramid. And it's astonishing to think that this civilization had an understanding comparable to modern understanding of the nature of evolutionary development. How did they do that?
Yes. We don't know that they had any sort of detailed understanding what these time periods would mean. On the other hand, they seem to have been so in tune with these cosmic time energy changes that they had laid out like a cosmic plan, probably just intuitively, I would guess. But now, today, when we have the huge factual basis of modern science, we are able to place actual events in the history of the cosmos into this kind of a temporal structure that the Maya had created and that they had symbolized in their huge pyramids.
Yes, well, if it was, and we know through the work of another Carl Jung, that these archetypal forms can express through the human mind and then be represented in physical structure. But if that was what was going on, this was an expression of archetypal forms like has never been seen on the surface of the planet before or since.
Right.
Because we see, for example, they had the 7 days and six nights. And if we look at the fifth day and fifth night, we see a whole sequence of corresponding fifth day and fifth night events taking place in history, such as the development of fire in the fifth day on the fourth level, followed by the immediately by the Ice Age. So there's the Mayan system absolutely corresponding to these seismic shifts in evolutionary development. It must have been a very exciting time for you, Carl, as you began to develop this and develop your understanding of what was going on here.
Yes, it really was. It's kind of funny because I first made contact with the Maya in 1979, and I had then a feeling that they are right in some really deep way. But I didn't make any immediate shift into studying it on a full-time basis. And then in the mid-80s came Argüelles' book, and which was preceded by a few books also that hinted that there is some kind of a historical reality to the Mayan calendar system. But then in 1992, something happened with me. I would say right now that it was a new cartoon that started in the planetary underworld. And what happened was that I started to get information in a way that I never had before. It's kind of funny because I had been reading about the calendar and had a basic scientific background, but it was only after that particular cartoon shift that my mind started to grasp what I felt was the meaning of the calendar. And so it was a matter of three years of full time when things were just coming to me almost like without effort, and together they presented a coherent picture, and it was a really very, very creative time that I cherish a lot, that I had the chance to be through that kind of a time period. But then it took quite a few years until I was able to have anybody wanting to publish this work, but then eventually that happened too. But it was 3 years there of that I thought were quite very, very exciting when I started to realize how deep the Mayan understanding was of the cosmos we're living in.
Yes, yes. Of course, the inevitable focus of those delineations of these levels in evolutionary development is to focus us towards the top level or what's happening at the moment. And I must say that I had been put off by some of the wilder interpretations of the nature of where we're headed to and the focus on 2012. And that is really an impediment for a lot of people, is the sensationalist, perhaps understandable, sensationalist ideas that people developed about the end of the world and the entire planet going into upheaval, etc. That's definitely not the nature of what we're looking at.
No, people's minds are almost like wired into suspecting an end to the world or something like that, that's not what the conclusion would be if you really look in depth at the meaning. But some people, they just want to have the one event happening at this particular end date, and I would say there's much more to learn about what it means to be a human being, what it means to live in this cosmos, and all these kind of things are inherent in the whole calendar system. And to focus on something happening on one particular date, it's like a rip-off, the way I look upon it. You miss the basic knowledge.
Yes, it's the end of the psychological world, of the personal worldview that people have, is what they're intuitively keying into. And not the end of the physical world, it's a consciousness world change that we're headed towards. But then it's interpreted as if the external world is going to end. It's not. It's an internal world that's changing as we move forward.
Yeah. You hear a lot today about the shifting of the ages. And, I'd like to say that there will be no shifting of the ages outside of ourselves. It's happening in us if it's happening, so to speak.
Yes, and it's been described in one lecture by Ian Lungold, which I saw, as that there is an acceleration taking place, not an acceleration of time, which is remaining constant, but an acceleration of consciousness. And that's certainly the feeling that people have, is the pace of the world accelerating, the frequency of events is increased, and therefore there is a perception of this accelerating process. We can see that in the World Wide Web. We can see it in the pace and rate of technological development, or even the rate at which Intel bring out the latest chip, which has increased the capacity dramatically over the previous generation, etc. Yes, we're certainly heading towards a consciousness breakthrough, but not everybody on the planet is at the peak of consciousness or the peak of understanding. And so they're hardly all going to change on one day.
Absolutely, and there is, of course, the question: and how do you broaden the receptiveness to the incoming energies, and how do you make it a larger stream in the evolution of humanity? We're now for the midpoint of this fifth day that we're in now. There are plans going on of like a major global meditation that will, there's a number of different organizations that are gearing up or lining up to participate in that. It includes the TM movement, the Diksha movement, the Club of Budapest, there's a number of them, major things. And the idea here is really to try out, in collaboration with the Global Consciousness Project of Roger Nelson in Princeton, is to by synchronizing such events to create a coherent field. And of course, this has been done. It's been done very often, various types of global meditations. But I have a sense that in the latter part of this year, there will be these kind of events with a larger mainstream participation, with a deeper seriousness to the whole thing. And I also think that this year will bring some kind of a breakthrough into peace, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might say that's strange, because there is some war going on, and there certainly is. But the thing is that there could be a breakthrough into peace, regardless. I think in the latter half of this year we will see many manifestations expressing this kind of a breakthrough into peace, and also we will see these kind of attempts of creating a coherent field towards this state of oneness, of going beyond the duality in the human way of being.
Now let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, a state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Back a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass hemp be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp speed. On a mission for them greens, lean mean money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me. Watch me diamond shining, looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good, from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pain. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California, yeah.
I've always felt myself in my own analysis that the twin towers of the World Trade Center and their collapse were a powerful symbol for the collapse of the twin pillars of duality itself.
That's a good point, yeah.
And represented also by the pitting of two cultural systems against each other arising out of that event in what we see in the current conflict in Iraq.
You know, some people think of peace as the opposite of war, but I think peace is, you know, I think that's still being in a dualistic framework. And what I hope will come coming will be sort of manifestations of peace that are really made quite irrespectively of any kind of conflicts that may be going on elsewhere, so to speak. A true state of peace is a state of oneness, and it's peace that is not even related to war, because then you are again in some kind of a dualist way of being, where you're comparing different attitudes to the world.
Yes, so the peace is not counterpointed against war. It is per se in its own right.
Yeah,
this is a very important point to bring out about the nature of the very left brain development that we've had in the world in the Industrial Revolution, absolutely characterized by this very masculine energy, very literal, very verbal, and then a different energy, which is represented by the right brain, which is this intuitive, and that these two are reconciling, along with the reconciliation of dualities.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's sort of what that the Mayan calendar tells us, that we are in that particular level of evolution in our current time. And step by step, these incoming energies are facilitating at the current time. They're facilitating our standing for peace, not against war, but standing for peace, because we stand for peace.
And so the outcome is much less likely to be cataclysmic as much as it is to be like the arriving of a period of stillness on the surface of a lake, and not an upheaval.
Yes, and I think we should not use the what we would call the negative, the conflict-oriented aspect of us, you know, as a pretext to say that the world is bad because these negative things are happening. We can stand for what we stand, regardless of these things that some dualist mind would hold up as opposites.
Related then to that, if that's what's happening, is an integration of this intuitive right brain system and the literal left brain, we know from a deep understanding of the nature of the world that we're closely connected to it in terms of its function and operation in our mind structures, so that we may be coming to a point where we're capable of harnessing much more the power of synchronistic event towards a co-creation. You've written about this, about a period of developed co-creative ability.
Yeah, it's funny, when you look on the Mayan calendar, you're starting to realize that there is like a big divine plan in operation that has created the world we're living in up until now. And that's really not how a lot of people would look upon the world. Many people tend to think that, you know, we create the world. We human beings, we are the creators of the world. So I think that in order to become co-creators, I think it's also very important that people realize that there is a divine creation going on. So when we create our own lives, I think it's important that we seek this divine guidance so that we're not just doing it on our own, like an egotistical intention, but that we are creating our own lives in an interplay with a divine plan. And I think the use of the Mayan calendar actually helps this, because once you start to use it, you're starting to realize that these time archetypes that the Mayan calendar describes actually has an influence on how the course of your life is developing. But it's coming from another place. It is coming from the divine creator. And so in this way, by taking into account all of these energies of the divine, you're truly becoming able to be like a co-creator of the divine plan.
Yes, yeah. A great writer, Christopher Caldwell, back in the 1920s, he spoke of the Robinson Crusoe idea as really being atypical of the mindset of the lone individual, exercising an egotistical will against the world. And so this is the opposite of this. This is understanding that, in fact, that was never the case, and that everything that we do is done in co-creation with each other and with this divine process you speak of. If that is divine, do you understand that to be an external, personalized divinity, or simply that we are the expression of that divinity?
I would say both. Mm-hmm. I do think that it's some intelligence outside of ourselves, outside of the physical world, some intelligence that is just beyond this reality. Mm-hmm. And that is bigger than all of what is created. But then I would also say that somehow we're all connected to it. We're all part of this divine reality and have some kind of a spark that is divine in nature. So we are God, and there is also something more to God. That's how I look upon it.
Yes, yeah. It's something that came up in my own thinking very recently also. My understanding now is much more the case that even in the case of this discussion we're having tonight and the listeners who are listening to it, it's not something that Carl Kalaman and Fintan Dunn have done. This event where we are speaking is as much a creation created by the need or want or desire of those who are listening to it as it is by us.
Absolutely.
It would undoubtedly bring you a lot of confidence then to understand that you are not alone. And I'm not talking about extraterrestrials.
Right. Yeah, I think each one of us has like an energy field. Each one of us has like an energy field that probably includes the whole planet.
So we're moving then into what would have to be called a galactic level of awareness.
Yes.
What other social, political issues do you see coming up, Carl, from your understanding of the Mayan calendar and its day-night sequences over the next 10 years or so?
Well, I think you mentioned earlier this whole play between the roles, the different roles of the left and right brain halves. One of the aspects of the left brain half is that it's about abstract thinking. It is the brain half that has the mathematical abilities and so forth. Mm-hmm. And what I found in my research is that very much of our modern economic system, it's really just a product of certain phases in development that have favored the expressions of this left brain half. Mm-hmm. In other words, it is those phases of evolution that has created a world that has been based on abstract mathematical values. Now, this is what we call today the world of economics. But I would expect then that there will be less power in this approach to life of only valuing, you know, like abstract values, like $400 or $1 billion or whatever. You know, that kind of thinking has been driving the world economy for a long time. And so what I see coming in the years ahead, and not the least in the coming year, is this, that it's sort of going back to reality, and also in the world economy. In other words, that we will not only look for these abstract mathematical values, but looking more concretely on what is value. And this is this concrete way of looking at the world that is something that's being associated with the right brain half, which is the one that is currently being favored. So if this is all correct, we would expect some kind of a shift in the world in the years ahead, which downplays this earlier very singular emphasis on abstract mathematical value as driving the world economy.
Yeah, redefining the nature of value as...
Yeah, exactly. A new framework for value. What is value? The way we look upon it now, it's an abstract thing coming from a certain type of thinking. Yeah, there's a time for a redefinition of value.
Yes, away from the literal, figurative, into worth itself, sheer quality. Well, that certainly would play out on many fronts, and perhaps perhaps we're seeing that. I mean, some of the challenges we're facing are similar to those described by Alvin Toffler in Future Shock and the Third Wave, where all of our institutional and economic structures are groaning under the weight of having to transform into this new era. So that is a process that's likely to accelerate and culminate in the years ahead.
Another thing that I see coming then is, you know, it's again because we're going into an era of more right brain approach to the world. It's the increased emphasis on intuition, on just knowing, so to speak. And I think life itself will more or less force us to rely increasingly on that. There used to be a time when 20, 30 years ahead, when we were not in this very accelerated time as we are now. There used to be a time when we could make plans for maybe 10 or 20 years into the future, and it would actually be some kind of realist for these plans. But today, because of the frequent shifts in energies in the world, rational projections into the future do not have that same validity, and so we simply will have to relate on intuition, and which is means, in other words, connecting to the higher source, and this, I hope, is really what may lead the world into a better place, a place that is more guided by higher spiritual values.
the internet itself is an enabling structure. Maybe that's something you could speak to as well, is the nature of technology and how technology is a fundamental and vital part of this emerging new structure.
The internet as a communication structure, it really comes out of this current level of the galactic underworld. And it's there is something really, what should I say, democratic about the internet, or there's something about nobody being above anybody else. I mean, that may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it is the information is now being much more equally distributed, and I think this is a part of the disappearance of the dominance structures that have existed for the past 5,000 years. I should have mentioned maybe then that, you know, there is this long count 5,000 years time period that basically has fostered a patriarchal mentality and also very much a mentality of dominance. Mm-hmm. And part of that has been dominance based on monopoly of information. And in this way, I think the current level that we're in now that has so much fostered and supported the development of the internet has served to equalize people, and in a sense, it's an egalitarian structure that is emerging with the internet, and it's coming out of this particular level that we're on now, the galactic underworld.
Yes, yeah. Well, certainly in its structure, and it's something I've spoken about in the past, is the it's a node-to-node, unmediated communication where position and hierarchy and access to information is not the determinant anymore, and it's a very flat, egalitarian model. Has implications for what we spoke about earlier, Carl, about there being a leading edge to things. That would imply that the pyramid is flattening out as we go, and therefore that it's not that some people will be way ahead of the game, but that everybody's going to catch up with the game very quickly. There is a flattening out of the structure, flattening out of the arrowhead of evolutionary development, so that everybody's going to come on board very quick on this.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The internet makes that possible, you might say. I believe that, yes.
And there's something else, too, I'd like to come back to in what we were speaking of there, about the role of intuition and reliance on intuition. We must come to rely more on intuitive understanding, and that is in fact a great mental acuity, is to found our mental acuity in intuition.
Yeah.
It's very much back to the old idea of go with the flow, isn't it, coming to fruition now?
Yeah, flow, but yet I think there is a need to set certain kinds of intentions that will help create the flow, and such intentions are intentions for peace, and intention for wholeness, intentions for, because these intentions are also, if you don't have the intention, the flow might possibly lead you anywhere.
Yes.
So I think that's important to add to it.
Yeah. Well, just focusing back down towards the immediate future, Carl, perhaps you could just outline for people the nature of the current period we're in right now, fifth day, which is going to be followed by fifth night, and what the main understanding of those energies are, and the implications of that for what's going on between now and, say, November, which would be the end of the fifth day, and then following that. What's going on at the moment in this archetypal level?
Yeah. Well, my feeling is that in the first half of this, the fifth day, which will, the first half will end May 22nd of this year, my feeling is that there's a lot of change going on under the surface, you might say, in the inner worlds of people. But it will be a sort of a struggle to see something happen in the external world, and maybe there will will be, as I said earlier, really manifestations of peace and of inner wholeness in ways that are visible on the outside as tangible reality in the external world. Then I expect when the fifth night comes, which is in November of this year, there will be some kind of reaction to this. And it's like a darker, more destructive energy that will be coming especially the first half of the fifth night. It's something I want people to be prepared for. In other words, those forces, you might say, those powers that want to go back to the old ways of being, those forces will again be strengthened, I would expect, mm-hmm. and come to this shift point in energies in November of this year. And so it will be, I expect, then about 180 days then, following this fifth point, I would expect it to be a hard time. And so we're talking about November 2007 until mid-May of 2008, especially, but also all of 2008. I expect it to be a hard time for anybody wanting standing for peace, standing for wholeness, standing for balance. I expect a reaction. When you study the Mayan calendar, you always find that it is like a wave movement. And so during the days, it's typical that it's like two steps forward. And then whenever there is a night, there is often, in certain senses, there is a wave, it's a step backwards. It's just the way it works. We should know that. We should expect this.
Yeah, well, that's clear from looking at the previous fifth day and fifth night sequences. And something occurred to me, Carl, as you were speaking, and as I was asking you those questions, that it'd be very easy to characterize this the wrong way. We're not talking as if Carl Kalaman is in touch with entities on the other side or astrological lore, which is informing his analysis of fifth day and fifth night. I emphasize that for people. It's by looking at what happened during fifth day and fifth night period, say at the sixth level, where we had the development of culture and art, followed in the fifth night by the extinction of the Neanderthals. But it's worth noting there, Carl, that we're talking about an extinction event. So the fifth night, although there may be a reaction, I think it would be like a final swan song of these people. It will be their extinction.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm happy you're making that point. There's nothing that's about believing in me, so to speak, or it's all there in a factual, theoretical language for somebody who is interested, and the validity of these predictions, they can be looked upon by anyone, and there's no entity speaking to me, so to speak.
Well, yes. Yes, it's just that once one talks about predictive things, then I'm just emphasizing that this is not that kind of circus fairground prediction we're talking here. It's just simply looking back at what happened before.
Yeah.
And really, it has a tremendous analytical explanatory power. And it's not so much predictive as inevitability.
Right.
I'm just wondering, Carl, is there anything that you wanted to address in what we're talking about here tonight from your current work and issues that are occurring to you right now that I wouldn't be aware of, really?
Well, I think I'd like to refer to a book that I read recently by the most recent book by Graham Hancock that has made quite some impression on me, And from the Mayan calendar perspective, he's talking, for instance, he's relating to Lewis Williams' works of cave art, and pointing out that the current idea among anthropologists is that this is sort of something that came out of trance states, out of shamanic states. And so what this would look upon is like, well, this is not easy to understand if you're not really familiar with my work, but I'm saying it anyway, that what I call the regional underworld, the underworld that started 100,000 years ago, it was a world that where people were much more in contact with the spirit world, or even living in what we would now call a permanent shamanic trance. And this frame of consciousness will be coming back as we're coming up, as we're approaching the end of the Mayan calendar system, when we come to this highest of the nine levels, the universal underworld. And so it's something that I'm starting to have the idea that, you know, it's really about going back into the spirit world. And in a permanent way, you know, I've just been very inspired by that book that I've recently read, and I could see the direct relation to the Mayan calendar of the kind of studies that he was presenting.
Yes, yeah, that has resonance and echoes of the idea of the bicameral mind also. That would seem to be quite logical if we're having this deepening connection between the right brain and left brain, then it will be that we're moving into a time where we'll be very informed by the intuitive connectedness, the emergence of the shamanic right into the consciousness.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yes.
I mean, the orientation we're taking here is so completely different from, let's say, quote one site, survive 2012 and building bunkers. And I mean, this is totally the reverse.
Yes. Yes, that's a really funny title. I've heard that, survive 2012. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, does that plague you to a certain extent? I mean, that you know, the kind of scientific understanding that you have and that we've talked about briefly tonight is so corrupted by this.
Sure, it would be nice if it would be another level of the discussions, I would think, and especially that people would focus more on what are we to do at the current time, and those kind of discussions is much more I'd like to see than to project something into a distant, well, into 2012 and see how you can survive it. The real question is how do we surf on the waves of the incoming energies, and how do we best make it real in the world that we're living in right now?
I would like also to congratulate you on the website kalaman.com and also the Mayan calendar portal. Something we haven't touched on in any depth is the sophistication of the Mayan calendar system. And I think you've done a great job in presenting that online.
Thank you, yes.
But tremendous work, and it's been great to talk to you, Carl, about these subjects tonight, and perhaps we could speak again on aspects of the Mayan culture itself.
I really like this talk. Yes.
Okay, well, I'll be spending some time. In the meantime, we'll do another special presentation taking people in some more depth into the nature of the Mayan system and the levels and the days and nights and that analysis, so as to equip them with some basic understanding, so that they can then approach the work a little more informed. I think that what you're doing is a very valuable system which we can use to understand and guide what is going to happen over the next 10, 15, 20 years as we move forward.
Thank you. Yeah.
And thanks for speaking to us tonight on The Next Level.
Thank you.
And you can get more on all of that
from Carl's website. That's Calaman.com, Callaman.com, or by following the links that go into the forum posts. And I'd like to thank Drew Terry for having compiled all that information in the Break for News forum and for sparking our interest in the Mayan issues. We have, in this conversation with Carl this evening, just scratched the surface of the Mayan system itself. And what I'd like to do is come back to you tomorrow with a closer look at the Mayan calendar and at the underlying system which is contained within it. Not just contained within the calendar, but contained and represented within the very pyramidal structures that the Mayan culture erected across Central America. We'll be taking a look at that in some detail. We'll be taking a look at the social, political and spiritual consequences, and we'll be examining the links into the tree incarnation material, which we've also developed here on breakfornews.com and in treeincarnation.com. And I think you're going to find that it all ties together very well. I hope you'll join me for that. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward, not forgetting, to having that extended conversation that we scheduled last week to come back and discuss with some of the forum members the ideas outlined by Stephen Navari on the forum in the full spectrum liberty topic. That's in the next few days also. But we'll continue our Mayan exploration tomorrow. And I do hope that you can join me for that. But in the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from harm. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Walking into the sun. Walking into the sun. Walking into the sun. Safe and away from